All right, so I'm joined here on the line by Brian Nolan, the conservative candidate in the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zeebee for the ongoing federal election. We've done a previous interview just introducing his candidacy and that kind of thing, but this interview is going to be a little more focused on policy. You can check out our interviews that we've done with some of the other candidates there on chipfm.com. Brian, how's it going?
It's going well. It's going well. It's a long days, meeting a lot of people. It's a lot of fun.
For sure. So can you talk a little bit about how your campaign has gone thus far?
Campaign's going really well. We're having a lot of supporters. Every door that we knocked over a couple thousand doors that I did personally. I have a team with me, so we've knocked on a lot of doors. Response we're getting all over the riding is really, really well. It's really good. We see a lot of supporters, so we're really excited about it.
And this is your first sort of foray into federal politics here. Was it what you expected? Are there things that you didn't expect getting into this?
Well, actually, I wasn't expecting anything. Every day is a new day. I'm learning every day as we go, and it's a lot of fun actually, and I'm really excited about the every day. You know, every day is a fun day. We're meeting new people. It's a lot of work actually, and which I was expecting, long hours, and you have to be willing to make all the sacrifice, and family wise too. You know, my wife's at home and waiting for me every day, and being alone, so it's a big sacrifice, but it's a lot of fun. It's all worth it. We're doing it all for a good cause. It's to put Canada back on track and bring common sense.
And one of the issues that I've heard quite a bit about here is in regards to the housing situation currently. Everyone has sort of a different plan about how it's going to go about. It's one of those complicated issues, too, where it's not just the federal government. It's also, you know, municipal and provincial sort of working together to come to solutions here. So can you talk a little bit about your party's policy for housing and exactly how you would work with these other levels of government to get to?
Yeah, we have to work together. We have to cut the red tape. We have to make sure permits get issued quicker. And we have to work with every level of government. And that's one thing that I'm good with. With my past experience, I've dealt with different level of government. And we have to work together. We have to make sure that we build homes and not big house, just, you know, standard homes that the people can afford and people can move in. And on the housing, you know, as we know, our riding is rich in natural products. So the wood industry is we're rich in this. So we should be using our natural product to be able to build our homes. And the other thing, too, is with the conservative plan, we have we want to put people also, we're subsidizing the trade. So we're going to be able to, give $4,000 per people that wants to go in the trade industry, so plumber, carpenter, and electrician, and so on. And so we want to make sure that our people are well-trained, they know how to build homes, and every trade that we need to build a home, that's what we're going to be subsidizing or helping them out with the fees. And one of my idea is that what I want to do or promote is that I would like the new generation that are taking those courses building our homes. I know we have big companies in the region, and I'm not putting them aside, but I mean, I would like to give the opportunities to young people, the new generation, to build those homes that will come out from those trade center. So that way we can help them being entrepreneur and grow their future and build their company. And so that thing is that would be a good way to move forward.
And one thing also that's been brought up quite a bit in regards to the housing situation is the levels of immigration as well. The government there reduced the number of student visas, from what I understand as well. Do you believe that to be the correct course of action? And what, if anything, would you have done differently in regards to specifically student visas?
Well, student visas, we have to make sure that the immigrants that come in under a student visa are really studying. That's one big thing that we lost control of. A lot of people are coming into Canada with a student visa, but they're not really studying or going to school. So that's a big thing that we have to have a better control of. And also being able to control the immigration that comes into Canada. And like, I'm not against immigration. We need immigration for agriculture, people working the field. There are different industry where we need immigration to support those companies growing. But we have to make sure that the immigration that already immigrant that are coming here, we have a place for them to reside. Right now we're in shortage of homes and apartments. Costs went to the roof, and we have to be able to control our immigration so that we can bring back our rent to a regular fee or regular cost. So immigration is a big thing. We cannot just leave the border wide open. We have to control it, use the proper service that's offered, the proper channel to come into Canada. We have no problem with that. But right now, the immigration has been out of control, and we have to make sure that every immigrant that comes in, we have a place for them to stay. And we have to look at the immigration that goes to school, so make sure that they are going to school, that they're not just here for the ride.
Okay. And as far as the tariff situation or the response to the tariffs, the Liberal government has responded to some of what's happened there in the United States with some retaliatory tariffs on certain products. What would your opinion be on how the targeting has gone, and what, if anything, would you guys have done differently?
Yeah. So the thing, too, is like even this morning we noticed with Mr. Trump there is going another bandwagon there. It's like every day is different with him. We don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult, and we can't just be on a reaction mode all the time. We have to put a plan on tariff, you know, and also we have to make sure that it doesn't affect Canadians. So that's another thing that we have to look at. So we know when we put tariffs on American products coming in, so at the end of the day, yes, we have to fight back. We cannot just say, oh, we're not going to charge you any tariff, but we have to look at what industry we're going to put tariffs on. And that's my own opinion. You know, I know that our authority, we want to retaliate and charge the same tariff as them. But I mean, we have to look also at our economy. And again, I'm looking at putting Canada first and putting Canadian first. We have to think about our people first. Like, we have people going to food banks. We have people that are homeless. Like, we have to think about our people before anything else. So we have to make sure that our people can put food on their plate, and no family can enjoy a vacation or activities, you know. So it's I'm really into putting Canada first. We have a strong economy. First, we should start with opening up all our provincial borders, make sure we have a free trade with all the provinces, so we can move our own product within our own country, you know, easily. We're easier than we are doing today. So there's a lot of work to be done there, and we have to make sure that Canada comes first and Canadian comes first.
Yeah, on that note there of Canada first, as far as foreign policy goes, you guys are looking at specific cuts to foreign aid and also increases to spending with the military. I guess this is sort of a two-part question. What specifically do you think needs to be cut as far as Canada's foreign aid goes? And as far as the military, what would you say needs more spending here? How would it go about spending more?
Yeah, well, I'll go with the national defense one. Our army has to be stronger. For years, we haven't done any big spending in the in armed forces there, and that's people, and that's equipment, that's airplanes or jets. Like, we've been really relying on the Americans all the time to defend our sovereignty, and that has to stop. We have to be able to defend our own sovereignty, and that goes for the Arctic as well. We have to be able to protect our territory, and our military people are working their butt off, and the equipment they have is all outdated, and it's been outdated for years. No priority was done to national defense, and that has to change. We have to be able to protect ourselves. We have to, you know, we could hire a lot of military people to defend our country, and we need to defend our country. As we see with Mr. Trump or the U.S., we can't depend on anybody. We have to be self-sufficient on this, and we have to invest in our national defense. As for what we're going to be cutting, as we know, there's a list of things where the Canadian government has spent money all over the world for cause that are irrelevant really to the common people in Canada, and that has to stop. We have to bring our money here, keep our money here, to help our Canadians so that they don't go to food banks and they don't go to homeless shelter. And, you know, we look in Gatineau there, the Garten Arena, it's a dump, you know, it's awful. And I'm not, you know, it's a situation that we're in that's been created by the Liberals, because, you know, I've been living in this region for 40 years. I've never seen this before, never. In the last 4 or 5 years, it's been just awful. You know, we never seen homeless in Gatineau for as long as I can remember, until 4 or 5 years. And that has to stop. So instead of spending money left, right, and center to the other people, the other end of the world, to help them for any other cause, and don't get me wrong here, like the Ukraine, you know, I'm all behind them. Like, we will help them, just at what extent, it's probably going to be different. But we have to keep our money here to help our own people. You know, we have to think our people is getting poorer and poorer, and this has to stop. We have to think about us here. And the waste of money that we spend, and as an example, as a consultant in the government, like, we spend over $10 billion in consultant. To me, my view on this, and I've been a consultant for 15 years, I was a consultant for 15 years, and being a consultant, it's okay when you need something for, let's say, a year. You get a contract, you do the work, knowledge transfer. But once the year is done, like, there's no point for a consultant to be there for 15 years or 10 years, making $2,000 a day. That's costing a lot of money to Canadian people. My solution on this is that after a year, you have a choice. Either you come in as a government employee, or you just find yourself another contract, because we can't keep on paying this. This is unrealistic, you know. And we saw sex scandals, you know, that we had in the government. Arrive Scan is one. You know, we spend lots of millions of dollars there. And now we have to be more cautious on the money we spend. It's a Canadian dollars money, and we have to manage it carefully, every penny of it.
And just to go back onto mismanagement there, or programs that you think are relevant there, you mentioned Arrive Can, as well as just sort of the amount that gets spent on consultants, like, you know, McKinsey and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But specifically on foreign aid, you said there's tons of programs or money that gets spent all over the place. Could you provide like a specific example?
You know what? I have a list, but I don't have it with me, so no, I can't do that right now. Sorry.
Okay, no worries. And as far as the federal public service goes, this is kind of jumping off what we were already talking about here. Your party has announced that there would be some sort of cuts, or just, you know, not rehiring two persons for every three that retire or something along those lines. I believe that's the case here.
Yeah,
this is obviously an area with a lot of federal public servants in it, in more towards Gatineau and Chelsea area as well. But can you talk a little bit about what your plans are for the federal public service?
Yeah, for the public service, we're as we all know, the Liberal government that's in place right now already start doing some cuts. They're cutting 3,300 people at Immigration Canada. They're cutting all the terms in casual. They're cutting 580 people at Revenue Canada. And you know what? That's, you know, people cannot just always say, oh, it's the Conservatives going to be cutting. The Liberal government is already cutting. Our approach on this is we're going to be doing attrition, going by attrition. So people that are retired, there's about 17,000 people a year retiring. We won't be replacing them. So those positions will be abolished, and then we'll just rejigging people from department to department and make sure that the size of the government goes smaller. But we're not going to be giving golden handshakes or firing people. It's all going to be done by attrition. So people in the public service, they should not be afraid or scared of a conservative government coming in, because we'll not be cutting. It's going to be done through attrition, people retiring.
Gotcha. And one of the platforms, I believe part of your platform in the Conservative Party, was talking about the imposition of woke ideology, is, I believe, the phrase that was used as far as the federal public service. You talk about what exactly woke means? Like, there, a lot of people are throwing this term around. How exactly is it having an impact on the federal public service?
Yeah, the woke, we have to, you know, we have to stop. You know, we have this country's based on and on male and female, and it's we have two sex, and I'm all for the transgender and all that stuff, but I mean, there's a time for this, and we have to think of the population in general. You know, we have to I respect male and female and transgender and all that, but I think we're off the streamline here.
Okay. But my question was in regards to how this, you know, has an impact on the federal public service here.
Well, on the, okay, the thing in the public service is we spend a lot of money putting dispensaries of tampons and sanitary serviettes in men's washroom, and I think this is just a waste of money. And that's just, this unnecessary spending has to stop.
Okay. All right, Mr. Nolan, I want to thank you for your time. Thank you for speaking with us about this, and I wish you luck on the rest of your campaign here.
Okay.
If there's anything else that you wanted to let our listeners know, or if you have one more message here for the voters in the riding of Pontiac, Kittigan, Zeebe, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, sure. I'm here to represent people. I want to talk to people. I want to meet them. I want to make sure that every voice is heard, and I'm here to represent everybody in the riding. Like I said to everybody, every year I'm going to have a meeting with all the constituents from the riding, from every municipality, so we can have like a little town hall so we can discuss issues and the need of every municipality, so I can go back to Ottawa with some clarification and some actual action, an action plan to make sure that every municipality is well heard and we have a plan of action for the municipality, because as we know, the MRC Pontiac and Haute-Gatineau, they're suffering, and we need to help, and I want to be their voice. their voice, sorry, to make sure that we get some things done.
That was Brian Nolan, the Conservative candidate for the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zeebe, discussing his campaign as well as some of his party's policies. This is Caleb Nickerson with the Local Journalism Initiative.